Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Blazer Banter Podcast. I'm Eric Gunderson, the Trailblazers beat writer for the Columbian. And it's the second to last week of the Blazers season, but we're here to talk about one of the major events of the year, at least in the basketball community. It's the Nike Hoop Summit. There's scouts from every team, hundreds of NBA personnel come to Portland for this week. And we called in my buddy Seth Johnston to talk about the Hoop Summit, the players that are going to be in it, its importance, and then we get into a pretty nice discussion about the health of college hoops overall. So hope you enjoy a non-Blazers-centric version, again, of the Blazer Banter Podcast. Welcome, everyone. It's a big week. Seth Johnston, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Eric. It is a big week because I'm on the Blazer Banter podcast. Once again, second time. Once wasn't enough. The people demanded more. Your fans were screaming.
I need more, Seth.
And here I am. You know, I wanted to give you a thanks for last time on my intro. I noticed you threw in a little shout out to my mustard making abilities.
I did.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because my mustard skills, I make mustard from scratch, in case your listeners didn't know. And it's very good. And it's also very simple. And if anybody's interested in swapping mustard recipes or talking about process, you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at SethBall, SethBawl. Happy to have some mustard talk.
Follow Seth for mustard talk. He makes it. He bottles it. It's a whole operation.
Yeah, from seed to bottle.
That's right. From seed to bottle.
Seed to bottle. But that's enough mustard talk.
Yes, it's a big week for another reason. One of our favorite events of the calendar year. In terms of basketball, especially where we live in the Northwest, Nike Hoop Summit is this week. It's on Saturday. There's people, there's lots of scouts that come in, front office people that check out practices and the games. Even though there's a lot of teams going for a playoff race, a lot of people come to this event from all over the league, and then all over the country and the world.
Yep.
Seth. How excited are you? I know that this is a big event for you.
It's a big event. It's and there's this kind of wild card factor to the Hoop Summit now. This really kind of buzzy thing where if a prospect shows like has an incredible week, they'll go in the first round. You know, there's kind of like it's almost like American Idol-ish or something. Several years there's been guys who, you're pretty known by NBA people if you're even in the Hoop Summit. They already know about you. But having a good week here seems to mean enough to NBA teams that they'll draft you in the first round if they were, maybe they weren't going to before. Like Dennis Schroeder is a good recent example. You know, a bunch of guys. It's really – so there's kind of that – fun to watching it to kind of see if anybody breaks out. Schroeder, I think was, am I saying his name right?
I think so. It's either, right. or maybe it's Schroeder.
American right. I'm saying it American right.
Yeah, you're saying it American right. Maybe not German right with the umlaut.
Yeah, but he was one that he came out and he was against, he played against the Harrisons, I believe.
Yes.
And they just couldn't keep up with them. And so that was really fun to watch. And then he, gets taken in the first round and he's doing really well. So that kind of stuff is one of the more fun things about the Hoop Summit. And then you have it's always fun. What I like about international competitions is you get it's like a fun kind of novelty, I guess. It's not teams, it's kind of like a country, the U.S. versus the best in the world from other parts of the world is a fun angle, even though a lot of years, a lot of the international teams, are actually sort of Americans.
Yeah, exactly. Like Carl Towns was on the world
Carl
team.
Carl Towns was in there. Yeah, he's from New Jersey, but right. He's, he has enough connection to another place to get in. But it's a cool idea that they're bringing in top prospects from around the world to compete in the game, which is Saturday, and then, you know, the practice is running up where they kind of compete against each other. It's a cool event, and I'm really glad it's here in Portland so we can go see it.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite events. It's so funny because sometimes even having a good – you don't even need to have a good game. Like, sometimes even one practice can get you picked. Like, sure. I remember Sergei Karasev, who I think he's on the Nets now.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even have a very good Hoop Summit game. He didn't really play that well in the game. But he had one practice that had everybody going crazy, and then he became a first-round pick. So it's really interesting to see the names of people like that. You know, this week is huge for a lot of those guys, and I feel like maybe the McDonald's All-American game before they changed the draft rules used to be this way, where a big week could get you, or a really good game or a good showing at the McDonald's All-American game could make you a first-round pick, because that obviously doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, this is the event now if you're that age of a prospect, or, you know, like the 17 to 19 year old prospects. McDonald's, I don't know how much that really matters. It feels so exhibition-y now. This is it, man. This is where you can really, like, have an impact on your draft position. At least it feels that way, it makes it fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's proof in the pudding of all the guys that have gotten drafted off really good showings, either in practices or in the game. Dante Exum is another great example. Like, No one had really ever heard of him before. He has a really good week of practice, really good game, and then he falls off the map because he let that one good week stand out for him, and that was it. Like, he was not going to give anybody any more time to scout him, and he went top five, and it worked out for him. So it's a huge week for a lot of these guys, especially the guys on the world team. Do you want to go down the roster? I know some of the names on the world team roster, being an aficionado of this event and these guys at this level, maybe take me through a little bit some of these guys and tell me a little bit about them.
Well, I think, at least for me, I'm most excited to finally see Thon Maker.
Yes.
Another guy from, you know, he's originally from the Sudan, but went through Australia. Now he's playing in Canada. And he's probably the most interesting. I mean, he's maybe not the best basketball player that's his age, but he's certainly the most interesting just because he's 7 foot, ball handler, shooter, playmaker. It's just pretty interesting to kind of see him in action, I think. And he's a guy that's been on, like, the radar for quite a while, because, you know, they were saying, you know, this is like a 7 foot Durant, you know, when he was like 15, you know, he's one of those guys. So this is going to be super fun to watch. And then, you know, Jamal Murray, the Canadians, you know, another like good Canadian prospect. And he's interesting, I think, for people watching, because I think University of Oregon is in the running to recruit him. Okay. And he played in the event last year. So he'll probably, I imagine, being a combo guard, he'll have a pretty big role in this game. And then Ben Simmons, who was in the Portland area last winter for the Les Schwab Invitational with his Montverde Academy team, he's in it, and he's, you know, projected to go number one or number two in the draft next year. And so he's obviously going to be really interesting to watch. He'll be at Louisiana State next year.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be cool to see. Those are the first guys that I'm looking forward to see. And then there's always surprises, right? It's hard to know. You know, you don't know a lot about these guys. You can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I haven't seen Scal before, but he's supposed to be quite a big deal. I think he's supposed to go, like, top five next year. If you look at, you know, like a mock draft from 2016, a lot of those high, high lottery picks are in this game. So it's pretty good talent-wise, and it'll be pretty interesting to see them.
Yeah, it's funny because you see, like, there's the mix of guys that are all going to go to college, and then you also have the guys that have been playing professionally in other leagues that, like, we're talking about your Schroeder-type guys who came over, guys like Karasev who are ready to go now, you know, who are a little bit older. And, I'm interested to see a lot of these guys who, you know, I really don't know much about. I've heard Thon Maker, I've heard of Ben Simmons, but to see them in person and actually see what they're about, what their games are about, obviously for scouts and stuff like that, it's a huge opportunity because, you know, they get to see him in practice, and, you know, scrutinize every little thing that they do.
Right.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited to see, you know, the Thon Maker, obviously the skill set is just like ridiculous what you hear about, like a 7-footer that handles the ball like Kevin Durant. But there's lots of interesting international guys. There's a 7'2" guy from China that I don't know much about.
Yeah, me either. That seems to be one reliable thing is they'll bring a 7-footer from China.
Yes.
And that's whoever that is. They usually seem to do pretty well in the game. And then I don't know if you ever hear from him again.
Right. And then they have a guy. I don't know if he's related to the dictator Mussolini. I know it's spelled differently, but his name's
Mussini.
Mussini, excuse me. I misread that, so I'm sorry for all you.
Yeah, and that's a big question. I mean, at least historically in this game, and so Mussini is a point guard from Italy, mm-hmm. and a lot of times, sometimes in these hoop summits, that's the big problem for the international team is their guards really struggle just getting the ball up against the American guards.
Yes.
So they have Jamal Murray who should be able to handle it if he needed to, but it's always interesting to see how the point guards handle the American point guards who are usually a lot bigger and faster.
Schroeder was like the only, I mean, Moutier obviously last year was on another level from everybody else.
Yeah.
And then the year before that they had Schroeder, but I mean, yeah, they don't have a guy that can normally, traditionally, especially against the size and speed of American guys, when you're talking about, you know, last year Team USA had Justice Winslow and Stanley Johnson guarding the ball, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to bring the ball up against those guys.
And maybe that's outdated thinking by me, too. I remember, so the first Hoop Summit I went to was in 2009, and it was the U.S. had, like, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Avery Bradley, and the international team couldn't bring the ball up.
Mm.
And then so towards the end, like in the second half, the international team just started giving it to Domantas Monajunas to, like, run point.
Wow.
And they came back and won that game with Monajunas, like, point center.
That's
awesome. It was an awesome game. Yeah, it was one of the funniest. And that was the game, too, that it was a good first one to go to because before that, I think for 7 or 8 years in a row, the U.S. had won. So it was kind of not feeling competitive. That was the one the world won. And then I think since then, it's about even in terms of, you know, who's winning these games, the U.S. or the international field. International field, I don't think it's true this year, but usually they're a little older. And like you said, they've been playing pro a lot of times. So they have that edge against, and they're going against, you know, a high school senior from the U.S. who hasn't seen that level yet. But I think this year, age-wise, the two teams are a little closer together. So it won't be a bunch of, like, you know, European 19-year-olds who've been playing pro since they were 16 against some high school seniors who've rarely even seen somebody that can keep up with them, you know, skill-wise and physically. So I think it's going to be a close match this year, which should be good. Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, last year it seemed like the world team just wasn't there. I mean, obviously it's kind of hard to live up to that one world team the year before that where they had Wiggins and Exum and Schroeder and Towns. And yeah. They were just a really, really good team. So, Yeah, I'm excited to check out some of these prospects from the world team, guys that no one's really seen. So I'm excited, and it's going to be a fun week, a fun game on Saturday though. That's what the main event is, always fun. So looking at the American team, Alonzo Trier, I read an article about him like a long time ago in like, I think it was New York Times Magazine when he was like really, really young. Mm-hmm. But I really don't know any of these guys. And they have a new coach this year. Their old coach is gone. So it's a whole new world for Team USA.
Yeah, it's an interesting team. Some stuff I've read is a little down on the talent of Team USA this year. I'm not so sure. I think they're pretty good, and a lot of them are still uncommitted college-wise, which is kind of interesting. And for Pac-12 hoops fans, three of these guys in this game, there's the rumor that they're all three going to commit to Cal, which would be hugely surprising. But it seems to not be a thing that's going away. Jaylen Brown, who was also in the LSI last winter, he hasn't committed yet, and he's friends with Ivan Rabb, who is from the Bay Area, and people think is a lock for Cal, even though he hasn't committed yet. The word is he hasn't committed yet because he's trying to get Jaylen Brown and Caleb Swanigan to come there with him, who are also both in this game and are both, you know, five-star recruits. So if you're a Cal fan, it might be pretty cool to go see this game.
Because bring apparently that's Cal gear.
Yeah, because apparently that's a thing that is not just a wish, which would be pretty awesome for the Pac-12 and for Cal, obviously.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, the Pac-12, Arizona, obviously, the Oregon has done pretty well the last few years. Oregon State's on the up and up. But if you got a big class like that with three guys that are in this game, that'd be pretty huge. For the Pac.
Yeah, that's like Kentucky level class if those three guys all win. Which would be pretty cool. The other thing is that I think will be cool is Jaylen Brown versus Ben Simmons. They're like the projected number one and two draft picks in 2016. And they were both in the Les Schwab Invitational, but Jaylen Brown's team got knocked off by the local, West Lynn. So they didn't actually meet in the finals. So it'll be cool to see how they match up against each other. They're both like that 6'7", 6'8", small forward, power forward, multi-skilled, seems like they can kind of do everything, athlete, savvy, smart type player. So it'll be pretty cool to watch them match up against each other.
I'm looking forward to that now that I know, I have not had my ear to the ground. Also, I feel like maybe there just hasn't been as much hype around these two guys as, say, Wiggins and Parker was a few years ago, because I feel like Wiggins and Parker was, like, way more blown up than, I guess, maybe Simmons and Jaylen Brown. But obviously it sounds like they're both held in pretty high regard.
They are, but I mean, yeah, they're not really buzzy, like, or even like an Okafor. Like, they're not really that level of buzz. So maybe that'll change.
Yeah, this week always changes a lot. Because Okafor, I think Okafor was the MVP of last year's game, or like was the leading scorer for Team USA. And then that was kind of when everyone was like, oh yeah, Okafor, whoever. And then, and Moutier was just amazing in that game. I'm getting excited. It's always a fun week. I'm excited for those matchups. I'm excited to check out who these guys are. I'm gonna, hopefully check out some practices this week as well.
And if you really want to nerd out, you'll be at the practices. And even like the side thing of this is they bring in, for these teams to practice, they bring in a lot of like local guys And there's always some funny, like, stories or, like, urban legends that come out of that. Like, you know, last year, local high schooler Peyton Pritchard, who's committed to Oklahoma State now, apparently had a really strong practice week against the, you know, the American Hoop Summit guys.
Yes, I was there.
Yeah, and so, you know, those practices are in front of a lot of scouts and a lot of people who make decisions that impact these guys. So that can be another little huge thing to pay attention to that can be kind of interesting is, you know, somebody who's not even in the game can have their profile elevated
right
by a good week of practice against the Hoop Summit roster, because there's just so many people watching whose perspective matters.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so true. Pritchard last year, that was really interesting because he was matched up against Tyus Jones and he just absolutely abused him. And, you know, Tyus Jones is playing in the national championship game tonight. So, no, yeah, exactly. You're right. No, there is that other storyline. So, yeah, that should be fun to check it out. So, hopefully, I'm planning on nerding out. It's always a great event to check out some of those practices, too, because you never know how much those events might change things. Like Sergei Karasev, you know, he's one of those guys. So, I'm really excited. I'm hoping that Jamal Murray commits to Oregon just because, you know, why not?
Because you're a homer.
Yeah, I'm a homer, for sure.
You're totally biased in your coverage of all things.
I am. I'm such a homer. I'm such a homer, Seth. But, you know, anything else really about this game, anybody that you're particularly excited to check out? That Cal storyline seems like one of the better storylines that I've heard about this week.
Yeah, that could be good. I also like so Steven Zimmerman's playing, who's a 7-footer from Las Vegas. He's not committed. A lot of schools are after him. He's an interesting guy. He was the Les Schwab Invitational a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and he's one of those. He's, you know, obviously he's 7 feet tall and he's fast and he's skilled and he can do all the things like that. So he's somebody that could kind of break out of this. And the U.S. coach, if you wanted, could run Zimmerman out there with Chase Jeter, who's his teammate at Bishop Gorman. So they're actually a 4 and 5 on an actual high school team together, and they have been for some years. So that's actually a pretty easy advantage if you want some guys who absolutely know everything about playing with each other. Chase is going to Duke. He's kind of an interesting guy, too, a 6'8", smooth. He's one of those guys who doesn't, like, pop out necessarily like some other guys do who have really salient styles or do freaky athletic things all the time. But he's one of those guys that you look at the stat sheet and you're like, oh, he had 25 and 13, you know, because he's just kind of smooth and low-key. I like his game a lot. He's going to Duke.
All right, Chase Jeter. Is he related to Jeter? Is he related to Pooh or Derek, maybe?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, but I also don't know.
All right. He could be. They could be related. Who knows? And then, this is a fun event. I'm very excited. Tickets are also cheap for those of you in the Portland area. If you just want to go check out the game, it's like, you know, all these guys are going to be, like Seth is saying, you know, projected to be top picks next year. And then some of these world guys might end up getting picked, you know, this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a fun event. I'm excited. And like you're saying, it's the premier, it has become the premier high school event now. I think without a doubt, and we talked about this when we did our All-Star Weekend podcast, you look at the rookie sophomore game. Now it's basically the Nike Hoop Summit.
Yeah. The rookie sophomore game. I don't remember what the NBA calls that now. The Rising Stars Challenge.
Rising Stars Challenge.
Yeah, where the world plays the U.S. is essentially like the sitcom that was about high school kids, and then they do a spinoff where they're all in college. It's kind of like the version of that from the Hoop Summit. It's a lot of the same names a few years down the road.
No, yeah, it's really fun. It's fun. You should remember these guys. They're gonna be playing, you know, some of them are going to be playing big major roles at this time next year. You know, some you might see these guys in the national championship, like we saw Winslow, Jones, Okafor all at this game last year. So It's going to be fun. But are you excited for the national championship game tonight, Seth?
No, I'm not.
I figured.
I'm not going to watch because, you know, I don't like Wisconsin or Duke. You know, so I'm just going to be in the bunker. This is like my doomsday scenario. Wisconsin, you know, it's like I've never really liked Bo Ryan's style. You know, he's going to, like, kind of grind it out and run his sets regardless of how much talent he has. You know, like, people are surprised at Decker and a little bit Kaminsky even this tournament. It's like, no, they have a ton of talent. You just don't know it because of their style. And part of it's also just because of how college basketball works.
And then
Duke, obviously, an evil place. And, you know, but I like, you know, I root for all the players, and I think, you know, especially once they go to the NBA, it's like a clean slate. I think Kaminsky will be pretty interesting in the NBA. And I think, you know, if you look at mock drafts that have him at like 10th or 12th, like late lottery, that's a pretty good value because he's going to be a 7-footer who can, and he can do more than just shoot, it seems. Against Kentucky, he was pretty impressive to me. Because that's, you know, that's Towns and Cauley Stein he was against. And those are both guys who will be very good in the NBA, probably.
He also, I mean, he impressed me a little bit with his defense.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't a bad defender against those guys. Like, he was staying in front of him. I haven't seen a lot of Kaminsky, but like you're saying, I mean, that was a good matchup.
Yeah, because he was kind of, I felt like at least what I would hear about him as he's projecting to the NBA was, yeah, he'll be a 7-footer who can shoot and not mess up, maybe, you know? But I think, you know, if Kentucky, if you could take things from that, from how he hung in defensively, he can maybe do quite a bit more than that. So that was interesting. And Decker, I didn't know anything about him, really. You know, I knew he was, you know, a good player.
He's not in the Big West.
Yeah, I'm usually focused on the Big West more than the Big Ten. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously been hugely impressive, and
The Winslow,
they'll both have long, long, fantastic NBA careers. I'm sure.
Yeah, the Winslow Decker matchup will be fun to tune into. I'm going to tune into it after the Blazers play the Nets.
Yeah, Justice Winslow is, man, he's probably my favorite Duke player to think about how he'll be in the NBA. Okafor is weird because it's hard to get a read because the way he plays in college, the NBA doesn't play.
Right.
You know, a lot of people have pointed that out. So if you're taking Okafor, you're kind of assuming that, and this does happen, when a guy is great, he's sort of an exception and the rules kind of just don't apply. Right, you know, we see that every once in a while. Like, if you think a guy is, his game just won't work at the next level, and then he will just be good enough that it does. So that's kind of, to me, if you're drafting Okafor, that's kind of what you're banking on being the case. Because he doesn't do a lot that works the way the NBA works right now. But Justice does, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yeah. Justice, yeah, I like where you're going with that. Had a podcast last week with a buddy of mine who was talking about this very thing. He threw a couple. His name is Ryan, and he threw a couple of player comparisons for Okafor, and the two that he gave me were Brook Lopez and Al Jefferson.
Hmm.
How do you feel about those comps?
I don't know. I couldn't go there. I don't think there is a good Okafor comp. I mean, I see what he's getting at there. It's hard to know how he'll operate in the NBA, I think. Cause he's certainly, this comp is calling him basically a more athletic Al Jefferson is what he's getting at. I assume, right? Like,
He's a great post scorer. You can get him the ball and he'll get you a bucket, but maybe not a great defender.
Yeah.
Maybe not a great shooter, although Jefferson did develop that like mid-range touch in his during his career.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the history too is like. It'd be interesting if there are recent examples of guys who had a college game similar to Okafor that and how they projected. I don't know. I'm not sure. I would take Towns number one. I think it'd be pretty hard not to do that. But a lot of people like Okafor. I think it's hard to resist. There's still a thing where it's hard to resist a guy who is just big.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not especially tall, but he's just so big that a lot of guys like that. And he's, you know, obviously he's real nimble and savvy.
Smart, great passer.
And pass. Yeah, that seems to be a thing, too, now that I'm curious about is the top recruits these days, the top prospects, all seem to have that court IQ, passing savvy. You know, it used to be you'd see raw kind of freak athletes were the guys that people were excited about. And now it seems like they're still physical freaks, but they can all pass.
Right.
And they're all smart. And it's I don't know if it's a benefit of the AAU because they just play so many games now that they can learn. I don't know if it's like a hidden benefit of AAU or if it's just that to be the best now you have to be better at a lot more things. But it's really interesting to me that that's the new profile of a top recruit these last several years seems to be, also they're really smart. They can pass really well. They have a huge, like, they're very savvy. That's been an interesting trend that seems to be developing.
I have two theories on this.
Mm-hmm.
A, it's the LeBron theory, where all these kids now grew up watching LeBron, who is a freak athlete, but is also an excellent passer, probably the smartest player on the court. And then two is just like a greater, I think that maybe this is totally wrong. I do think that there's a greater appreciation of like what it means to play like good team basketball with like, people like, you know, there's been like a greater appreciation of the Spurs over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe that has something to do with trickling down to like these youth players that see these guys winning games, winning championships. LeBron is winning championships by playing team basketball. The Spurs were the same. You know, obviously, you know, the AAU point is something I didn't think about and just how many games and how much more experience they can get. But I think there is something too that like the best players and the best teams. Now you look at Golden State, they're just like the ultimate team, you know, and it's, I think there is something to that, that maybe now in this age, it's just the way basketball is going.
Yep. I think you're right. I think that's good. Yeah. The role models are different.
Yes.
Sure. Team, both team-wide, individually and as a team of what's most valued. It's pretty cool. I think it's exciting. You know, like, it's just incredible to me, like, how, you know, Jaylen Brown, Aaron Gordon, Okafor, Towns, all these guys are just so smart, and it's, like, so cool to watch them play. It's so much cooler than if they're just out there physically a freak, you know,
just dominating kids,
which they still are,
right?
But there's a whole other cerebral layer to what they're doing that is pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, totally. I always loved that was something that also stood out about Towns is, mm-hmm. Towns is a pretty smart, unselfish player.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's exciting too because it just makes the basketball so much better. It just makes it better because that was, you know, and I don't know how much of it. Another thing, too, is I just popped into my head, you know, whenever those rule changes went into effect that kind of made the game the way it was with, like, less hand-checking and less just, like, in the NBA anyway. But I'd really like to see college lend itself to that more – to a more up-tempo style of game. Where, because I feel like you're saying, like, Okafor's skill set, it works really well in college. He's a smart player, but, like, you know, you don't see, I feel like that's not a thing that you see maybe in other levels of basketball where they're just pounding, or Wisconsin, where they're just pounding the ball and running the clock out.
It's like, to me, it's how I've described it is when you watch, when you're watching like a really high NBA prospect and play college, it's sort of like, if you were like watching someone try to drive a Ferrari through a school zone or something, you know, like going, trying to go like 25 miles per hour.
Okay.
You know, that part of it is kind of frustrating. Is the college game, and I mean, everybody talks about this, right? There's like some very basic stuff. They don't need a 90-minute shot clock. You know, they don't need to call so many charges. There's like a lot of stuff, but it's also
the court could be a little bit bigger.
Yeah, there's not a lot of space. There's not a lot of movement, but it's also just there's parts of it that are just hard because. You know, if you watch these guys in high school too, it's can be even more frustrating. Except for in a hoop summit or like an elite camp kind of thing, because you know usually the really good recruit in high school is just a guy who might be a small forward in the NBA, but in high school they just dump it down to him in the post, and the other team's whole strategy is to just hack on him, you know, foul him as hard as they can, kind of thing. It's hard when there's a big gap, I guess is what I'm saying. So even in college, there's still kind of a big gap between a guy who's going to be an NBA All-Star and a guy who's not going to play again. Who is the vast majority they're playing against, they're at the end of their basketball career. So I think it is hard, you know, like you can't always just run as fast as you can run, you know, on most – you know, NBA teams, and they can't do as much as they can do because they kind of have to slow themselves down for the other guys, for their team and stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I felt like, yeah, we saw that last year with Wiggins, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit. I do think, yeah, it really is not, it's not that complicated. Like, I don't think there needs to be like a reimagining of the rules and the eligibility and all that stuff. I mean, obviously, I think guys that are ready to go to school or ready to go to the NBA should just go. Yeah. But you know, even if they had the one and done and they made little tweaks like the shot clock or like you're saying, calling fewer charges, I think that would make the game. So much more watchable and just, you know, just get the tempo up a little bit.
Yeah. It definitely wouldn't hurt anything.
Right.
You know, to have a 30-second shot clock.
Yeah. Is that going into effect next year?
I'm not sure. I know that the lesser postseason college tournaments used a 30-second clock this year, like the NIT did and the College Basketball Invitational, I think, did. So I don't know if that means it's definitely happening next year or
the
not.
The CBI is the greatest. I love the CBI.
They do a lot of stuff right. The three-game series instead of – well, I don't know if that's right because one game and you're out does make it really fun.
True. Very true.
I mean, it does more to make sure the best team wins, I guess, which may or may not be more fun or better.
Yeah. I mean, I would have I would have killed to see a three-game series of Wisconsin-Kentucky.
Yeah,
like that would have been cool to see a three-game series of. But obviously, there's time, and you know, and obviously the upsets. It's great, you know, the things like Georgia State, like you know, the one game scenario is awesome still. So that's what makes the tournament exciting. That's what makes it fun. But yeah, it can't hurt. It can't hurt to rethink some things.
There's easy stuff in. And longer term, maybe it's moot anyways because, I don't know, if you're one of those, and I think I kind of am, that it kind of seems like college basketball is going to collapse because it's so hard, I think, even legally to justify not paying people who are generating so much money.
Yeah.
And who are, you know, also like legal adults.
Yeah.
You know, and to kind of control them in that way. So, I mean, I think maybe it just collapses on itself through legal fights eventually. And then, you know, maybe in its place, there will be actual amateur college sports in a smaller time version. Kind of like, you know, a college has a tennis team, but it's not like, you know, but the best tennis players aren't going to college to play tennis. They're not going. They're just going pro when they're, you know, as soon as they're good enough.
Right. It could be like almost like the way that there's at some schools, there's club teams.
Yeah.
In that way where, yeah, having some, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. But yeah, but you know, it's hard to see, obviously there's tons of money there, but yeah, it's hard to see a future where college basketball is like still this machine.
Yeah. It's hard to defend itself. I think, it's been hard to defend morally for a long time to me, but I think it's also getting to a point where it's pretty hard legally, you know, for them to continue to not do something. So, you know, I guess in my ideal future, the NCAA basketball, those top NBA prospects, they're going to a different league. Perhaps, you know, maybe an actual great, robust, well-paying NBA development league.
Yeah, where they're not making $30,000.
Yeah. It's not viable yet to go there and make, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 and all that stuff. But right now, but you know, if they redid that somehow and it was a real development league and the guys who needed it could go there and, you know, maybe that's the future and that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, like every team has its own affiliate. You know, they're, you know, the Blazers have a team in Vancouver or Salem or wherever, you know, like things like that. Like the way, you know, I guess Idaho was too far for the Blazers. But yeah, I mean, I think eventually we'll get there. But it also seems like I don't know if you've seen this new campaign where the NBA is cross-promoting, like, current NBA players with the Dance Never Ends thing.
Yeah. I have seen that. Yeah, like, Curry hits the shot, and they show him in his college jersey kind of thing after he hits it in his Warriors jersey.
Right.
That thing, yeah.
They're doing that. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, they want to keep this afloat. Also, you know, one thing I didn't even really think about is, you know, a lot of these agents that are, especially coach agents, you know, mm-hmm. They represent guys that coach in the NCAAs and that coach in the pros. So, mm-hmm. you know, they probably don't want that money to go anywhere. And, you know, just as much as anyone, you know, that agents have a ton of power with the league and swaying the league.
Yeah, that's why I think it's going to be the legal cost of defending this current system that bring it down. Because yeah, it's set up. There's just so many people that are in control are the ones obviously making all the money. Then why would they want to change?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually it's just, you're just going to keep getting these humongous lawsuits until you do, or court orders or something. Yeah.
Yep. Seth, I'm excited for this week. I appreciate you coming on. Gonna watch the Blazer game here soon. Gonna hopefully watch some of this Wisconsin game.
Yeah, well, enjoy it. Let me know how it goes. I will be in my doomsday bunker waiting it out.
Okay. All right, well, I hope you have enough supplies and a lot of mustard.
Always.
Make things taste good. All right, Seth.
Thanks, Eric.